The following is a lecture given at the home of Raj Sandhu by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 28th, 2006, in Sydney, Australia.
This is called Sankirtan Yajna. Kirtan means to chant the holy names of God. And San means Sangha Kirtan. You see? In the modern day corporate world, they speak of synergy. Normally, 1 + 1 = 2. But when there is the principle of synergy, then 1 + 1 = 10. So, in the kirtan, there is energy. But in the Sangha Kirtan, in the Sankirtan, there is synergy. So when we gather together like this and we chant the holy names of God, then the spiritual benefit becomes magnified 1,000,000 times. So it is recommended in this age of Kali, when it is such a dark, materialistic age, that if we will come together as often as possible and do this Sankirtan Yajna, chanting the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then all the dirt that is accumulated in our hearts over many, many millions of lifetimes, you see, that dirt becomes cleansed away. Not only are we benefited by the Sankirtan, but it brings all auspiciousness on the whole world. It is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyo Anasang Babaha Jagat Bhavati Parjanyo Yagya Karma Samud Babaha. All living bodies subsist on fruit grains. The fruit grains are produced by rain. And rain is a result of yagya. So now there is a great problem in Australia. We have heard in the news. In some parts there is great drought problem. Just imagine if drought became worse and worse and the whole Australia dried up, there was no more water. You see, no one could live here anymore. That would be a very horrible situation, you see. So can the scientists produce rain? Can the politicians can produce rain? Can we purchase rain by increasing the taxes? No, not possible. The rain comes as a result of yajna or sacrifice. And what is the recommended means of sacrifice in this particular age? Sankirtan yajna. If we come together and chant the holy names of God, this can come down. If we will chant that word, if we chant the holy names of God like this, then not only will our heart become purified, but it will bring all auspiciousness. It will bring rain, not too much rain. Sometimes a problem of too much rain is there. But if the Sankirtan Yajna is regularly going on, then there will be just the right amount of rain, just at the right time. Everything will become properly balanced. So this is a very, very nice formula, how to become totally happy in one's life, and how to create an atmosphere on this planet so that everyone can become peaceful and happy. So it is very encouraging to see how nicely you were chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting. This is a very, very nice thing. Our present position is we are caught in the karma chakra, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We are trying to be the enjoyer of this world. We are trying to be Purusha, or enjoyer. The difficulty is, the reason we are not able to succeed in doing that, we keep trying to enjoy, but yet again and again we're frustrated. But again, we try again and again and again and again and again and again and again to enjoy. And still we are frustrated. So why is it? Why is that? Because that our actual position is not Purusha. Our actual position is Prakriti. We try to be the enjoyer, but actually we are meant to be the servant. God is the one enjoyer, and we, the living beings, we are meant to be enjoyed by God. We are meant to give pleasure to God. So, if instead of trying to be the enjoyer, we can try to agree to be the servant of God. Let Him enjoy me. Let me give pleasure to Him. You see? That's when we can actually enjoy life. We come back to our natural position to become the servant of God. This is what all the great saintly teachers throughout history have taught, that you should serve God. Why? Because that's our natural identity. We are servants by nature. You can even scientifically analyze this through logic. Even if we leave aside the scripture, the atheist, he will not accept the scripture. But we can even understand from the platform of logic. It's like there is one principle that we can observe within nature. The part is always meant to serve the whole. Just like I have one watch here. You see, there's so many parts to the watch. There's the band, there's the glass cover, there's so many little knobs, there's the hand, second hand, the minute hand, the hour hand, you know. So every part of the watch, what is its function? It's meant to serve the complete whole of the watch. If it doesn't serve the complete whole of the watch, then it's broken. I have to take it to the jeweler to repair it, or to the watch manufacturer, you see. So the part, when it is properly situated, it serves the whole. And when it's broken, when it's not serving the whole, that means it's broken and it needs to be repaired. So can any one of us claim to be the complete whole? Can you claim to be the total existence? No. Every one of us are obviously a part of something which is much bigger than ourselves. So each and every one of us is a tiny part of the complete whole. So that means we are meant to serve the complete whole. And if we are not serving the complete whole, what are we? We're broken. We need to be repaired. So what does that mean to be broken? That means we're an illusion. The natural position of a living being is to be spiritually enlightened, to be able to perceive God everywhere, to be able to connect with God in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So if we lose that God consciousness, if we lose that Krishna consciousness, if we lose that Bhagavan consciousness, that universal consciousness, that is an unhealthy or a broken state of mind. So the Vedas, they implore us, the Vedic wisdom tells us, understanding that we are in a broken condition right now. We are in an unhealthy, unnatural position. Therefore, the Vedic scriptures say, Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of that broken condition. Come out of the ignorance. Come into the light. Therefore, we pray to the spiritual master, Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. My spiritual master has come to me, who am standing in the darkness with my eyes tightly closed shut. And he is forcing my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances at his lotus feet. How much indebted is the disciple to the spiritual master? Because the spiritual master has saved him. He's like the repairman. The watch company is like God, and the spiritual master, he's like the repairman. He's an agent of the watch company. And he repairs the watch. He puts that part, he fixes that part so it again functions in its normal harmony with the entire watch. So, this guru is very important. Because guru, he brings us back to our natural, healthy position, acting in perfect harmony with the complete whole, the total existence. In other words, we learn how to become completely in harmony with God. Mm-hmm. Instead of being out of sync, we become perfectly synchronized with God. It's like when I was a boy, in high school, I played violin in the orchestra. And the conductor, there was one boy, he was very expert violin player. So he was called first violin. He was the lead musician in the whole orchestra. So he would tune his violin to some tuning fork to make sure it was precisely tuned. And then the conductor would have him play the C note or the A note, I forget, on his violin. And then the whole orchestra, they would tune to his violin, you see. So in this way, the whole orchestra was in tune, and we played. It sounded very, very nice, you see. We played together, and it sounded very nice. Well, you know, for high school kids, it certainly wasn't professional, but you know, everybody understood they're only high school kids. But still, it was pretty good. We had a very good conductor, and we did some concerts. I mean, our orchestra was a very recognized orchestra because we had a very good conductor. And our first violin player, his father was the conductor for the whole city. He was a big position. So anyway, the point is that by synchronizing, by everyone being tuned together with the leader, then it became very, very nice. So the reason we're having so many troubles in the world today is we're not in tune with God, you see. We're out of tune. So spiritual master, he's like the conductor. He's there to see that we get in tune with God. He teaches us how to become in tune with God. In music, there are two terms, consonance and dissonance. Dissonance means two sounds which don't go together well. They clash with each other. It's displeasing to the ear, not beautiful, ugly sound. But consonance means two sounds which vibrate in such a way that it's a very, very beautiful stimulation for the ears to hear those sounds. In the laws of physics, there's different vibrational levels that go with any sound vibration. You know, all kinds of different vibrational levels. There's a whole science of sound, actually. So, according to the science of sound, if you have consonance and you have dissonance. So we, in the same way as two notes which are in consonance are very, very pleasing, we need to come into harmony with that Supreme Person. And if we do that, then we'll be totally happy in all situations. Naturally, we will be, we'll have, our moral standards will be very high automatically. You see? This is my experience. I grew up as a Christian, and we had our Ten Commandments. You know, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. But it was very difficult. In fact, we were told that actually nobody can follow these, you know, but Jesus will forgive you. That's what we were told. You see? It's okay if you break them because Jesus, just go to church and Jesus will forgive you. But when I came to the Krishna consciousness movement, when Prabhupada saved me from this hellish material life, I realized I was automatically following all the Ten Commandments without any trouble. You see? So actually, if you become Krishna conscious, you automatically develop saintly qualities. It's actually in Christianity, it's actually ridiculous. They say you can't become perfect. It's not possible to be pure. But the Bible says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. But the Christians say you can't become pure. So who are those pure that are described in the Bible? That's the Vaishnavas, actually. Christ was actually a Vaishnava. He went to India between the ages of 12 and 30. There is one book, the Aquarian Gospel, which describes how he had darshan of Jagannath. When Prabhupada organized the first Rath Yatra in San Francisco, he told us, because you're in the Western countries, you are followers of Lord Jesus. Because he appreciated Lord Jagannath, you see. Now Lord Jagannath has come to the Christian world, you see. Prabhupada said this at the first Rath Yatra festival. Because Christ went for that darshan and he appreciated Jagannath. Jagannath, now he has appreciated Lord Jesus and therefore he has come to your Christian country. You see. They want to argue about this religion, that religion. But this is a childish thing. How there can be religions. Religions are made by men. God gives us religion. But we, humankind, in our political, with our political tendencies, want to create different religions and then fight and see who can have power and control. You see? So that is not religion. How many suns are there shining in the sky? Have you counted lately? How many? Can you tell me, this young man here, a very nice young man, how many suns are there in the sky?
One.
Very good. Very good. How many different names are there for the sun in all the languages of the world? There are many names, aren't there? How many languages do you know? English? You speak Hindi or some Indian language also? A little bit?
A little bit of one English.
So in English we say sun, and in that in Indian language, what do you call the sun? Do you know?
No.
I know in Hindi they say Surya. So, and I also, when I studied Spanish language. In Spanish language, El Sol. You see? So, how many different names are there for the sun? Every language has a different name. Does that mean there are many different suns? No. There's only one sun. So just imagine if we fought with each other. No, it's the sun. No, it's Surya. No, it's El Sol. You're wrong. It's not El Sol, it's the sun. Wouldn't that be stupid? But that's what people do. They say, it's Krishna. No, it's Buddha. No, it's Jesus. No, it's Allah. These are all names for God in different languages. You think God is so... I mean, there are many people in this world who are expert in languages. They can speak two languages, three languages. There's even sometimes people who can speak four or five languages who, you know, have big brains. Do you think God can only understand one language? English? The Christians say, you know, it's, you know, you can't, it's not Krishna, it's not Allah, it's only Jesus, it's only Christ. Do they think God only speaks English? The Bible wasn't even written in English. The Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. Christ didn't even speak, he spoke Aramaic. You see, this word, actually the word Christos is not even there in the original Bible. I mean the word Christ. The word is Christos, Greek word. Do you know who founded the Greek Empire? One of the sons of Maharaj Tejasi, the Indian king, founded the Greek dynasty. The Greek culture is a spin-off of the Indian culture. The Greek word Christos comes from the Sanskrit word Krista, which is another way of saying Krishna. So what is this fighting over different religion? It's stupid. It means they don't... The real thing is people are attached to sense gratification. They don't want to give it up. But they want to take some designation and be considered a great religious person because they have a little badge on them, you know, I'm of this, I'm of that. We have to make sure that we don't do that also. You know, it's easy to point the finger, but, you know, when you point the finger, you got one pointing back at you. You got to be careful, you know. We have to really be pure and try to develop genuine humility and understand that my actual identity is I'm the servant of God, whether I call him Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, or Christ. I'm the servant of that supreme person from whom everything has come. I have to develop my love for him. That's my purpose for existence. I don't exist for any other purpose except to love that supreme person, actually. This is why no matter how much I may accumulate here in this world, I cannot be happy. I may accumulate so many things. I may become famous, I may become rich, I may become powerful, I may become highly learned. You see, I may develop great qualities of renunciation. I may develop so many opulences in this world, but you know, those will not really satisfy me. Unless I can come to the point of developing love of God, I cannot be happy. That is not possible. Just like you have heard many times, I think, the example of the fish in, out of water. Everyone's heard that example. The fish, his natural home is the water. When he's in the water, he's swimming around, very happy. You see. But sometimes the ocean, come, the waves come in, the poor fish, he gets thrown way up on the beach and he's stranded there, he's trapped. Someone says, oh, this fish looks so unhappy. Maybe if I buy him a Coca-Cola, he, you know, he'll be happy. Or maybe if I, you know, give him, take him for a ride in my Toyota, he will be, you know. Or if I buy him a nice house in North Sydney, maybe he'll be happy then. Is it? Maybe if I give him a big position, make him Prime Minister of Australia, you see, then he'll be happy. Or send him to school, let him get a PhD and become a great famous scholar. Maybe that will make Mr. Fish happy. You see? No matter what you do for the poor little fish on the land, he will never be happy because it is not his home. But if he will just toss that little critter back in the water, he's so swimming around immediately. He comes to life again. He was almost dead because he can't breathe in the air. He has to be in the water to breathe. The fish breathes in water, not in air. As soon as you toss him back in the ocean, oh, he's so happy, just swimming and back to life again. Immediately revived. He was almost dead, you see. So all we have to do is come back to our original, natural, spiritual atmosphere. And what is the easiest way to create that spiritual atmosphere? Sankirtan Yajna. And we come together and we chant the holy names of God. Then it creates a very powerful spiritual ocean that we can just dive into and swim and dive and sport and surf in those waves of nectar, you see. We can just enjoy like anything because we're back in our natural atmosphere. Krishna personally appears in the Sankirtan. He comes to this room and dances on our tongues. He assumes, Prabhupada actually explains, when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna dances on your tongue because He is His name. The name and Krishna are one and the same. So Krishna, He dances on your tongue. You see? With great joy. If you joyfully chant His name, then Krishna will joyfully chant on your dance on your tongue. You see? And just bless you like anything. So this is a very wonderful program. Our great Acharya, and this movement we are called Rupa Nugas. Do you know the meaning? The one who is the follower in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. So Srila Rupa Goswami has told us, Jeev Adho. The first principle of spiritual life is the tongue. You may be surprised to hear that spiritual life begins with the tongue. That's where it begins. What is the tongue's business? It has two functions. One is to vibrate, to make sounds. Just like now, I'm vibrating. So many sound vibrations, you see. And the other is to taste foodstuffs. You see, it has two functions. So if we will utilize the tongue for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and tasting prasad, tasting Krishna prasad. If you will engage your tongue in those two activities, then you become a great yogi on the bhakti path, you see. You can easily become a great yogi. Just by chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad, you become a great yogi. Whether you're a student, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a prime minister, whether you're a millionaire, whether you're a pauper, whatever you may be. Man, woman, child. Anyone. Even there was a dog during Chaitanya Leela. He chanted Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The dog was chanting. And he went back to Godhead. You see? Even an animal. Whatever you may be, if you will join this Krishna consciousness process by chanting Hare Krishna mantra and tasting Krishna prasad, then you will become a self-realized enlightened being. And you will not take birth again. If you take this process, mature yourself in practicing it, you will not take birth again in this material existence. You will go back to home, back to Godhead at the time of passing out of this particular body that you are in now. So, this process is not difficult. It simply requires that we practice it, that's all. How many times do you drink water every day? Many times, huh? You drink water during the day, right? Young men? Yeah. So, if you will simply, every time you drink water, it's like now, I can drink some water, you see. Every time you drink water, if you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsukontaya, I am the taste of water. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, Srila Prabhupada says, immediately you become Krishna conscious. Immediately. So do you want instant nirvana? Do you want instant spiritual enlightenment? It's simple. Every time you drink some water, you simply remember Krishna. Ah, very nice day. This is Krishna. You see. And immediately you come to the spiritual platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakangshati. The trick is you just have to stay there. Well, our tendency is we come for a second, then we go back to Maya again. Actually, Prabhupada said that anybody who sees Lord Jagannath coming down the street, they become free from all sin. They become purified immediately by Jagannath Darshan. Even just some ordinary materialist on the street, and he sees the Ratha Yatra, he becomes purified. But the difficulty is Hasti Snan, the bath of the elephant. You know what the elephant does? He takes a very nice bath, and then he comes out of the water, and to dry off, he rolls in the dirt. See? So if we take that Hasti Snan, we chant Hare Krishna to become pure, and then immediately we go back to material sense gratification, then we become implicated once again. So this is why the Guru, this is why the scriptures, this is why the Vaishnavas tell us, you give up your sinful activities, you see. You give up illicit sex life. You give up intoxication. You give up meat eating. You give up gambling, you see. In this way, by giving up the sinful life, you can gradually become permanently situated on the spiritual platform. Become very solidly situated to where there's no falling back again into material consciousness. It takes time, it takes training. This is why we accept the guidance of senior Vaishnavas. This is why we accept the guidance of Guru. This is why we study the books of wisdom. Because these things help us to master the art of being fixed 24 hours a day in perfect divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So, in this way we can understand some of the points of this wonderful, wonderful knowledge which has come from the great sages of India. This is the actual spiritual knowledge on this planet. It comes from the great sages of India, actually even before India, but it has come through India in the recent history. This knowledge exists outside of this universe, actually. It is not Indian. Sometimes people say, you know, why do you dress like an Indian? But actually, this is not Indian dress. Dhoti, these things, tilak. This is the dress of the spiritual world. You see, Krishna, he is wearing yellow dhoti. You see? This is Vaikuntha. This is the spiritual world style. Sari, dhoti, this is spiritual world dress, you see. It is not Indian, actually. But India, being more very spiritual, has adopted. Of course, now they are giving up. Formerly in India, every gentleman he wore dhoti. But now, you know, it's become rarer and rarer and rarer. Now you go to India, they have the latest designer. Everybody's wearing the latest version of designer blue jeans. You know, the coolest. You know. The hottest, coolest, whatever you want to say, version of designer blue jeans. That's, you know. Even I've been going to India just for, you know, since 1980. I've seen tremendous changes in Indian culture in the last 25 years. It used to be practically every woman was wearing a sari in India. When I remember growing up back in the 50s in America, anytime you saw an Indian woman in America, she was always wearing a sari. But now mostly you see Indian women wearing blue jeans and things, you know, dressed like Westerners. So the culture, you know, we're losing. The Indian culture is becoming more and more, you know, watered down. It's disappearing, basically. But now the real Indian culture, the pure spiritual Vaishnava culture, which is the heart of Indian culture, Bhagavad Gita culture, you see, that is having a revival now. Now there's a wonderful revival begun by Prabhupada back in the 60s in that little storefront, 26 Second Avenue in New York City. It's an amazing revival of that pure original Indian culture now. It's having a comeback. So it's actually a very exciting moment in history now. It's an amazing spiritual revolution happening now. And that's what I've been doing for the last 35 years, since 1971. And my wife here, Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi, since 1978, she's been actively engaged in this revolutionary missionary work. You see. So this is a very exciting thing. The Krishna consciousness movement is the cutting edge of the spiritual revolution, which is sweeping the planet Earth right now. So we are very, very happy that you're participating with us in this Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who does this, their life will become full of happiness. They'll become free of anxiety, and they will be performing the highest welfare work for the whole human society. That's the thing. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. And we encourage you to continue to do so with ever-increasing enthusiasm, determination, and patience. We have to be patient also. If you're enthusiastic but you're not patient, then after a while you'll give it up, because the results don't come automatically. I mean to say, they don't come instantly. It's like if you want to get a college degree, you have to be very enthusiastic to go to class every day, write the papers. You have to be patient also. It's not that you think, well, one semester goes by, you say, oh, I don't have a degree, I'm quitting it. You have to be patient. So Krishna consciousness also requires, can imagine, to become a pure devotee of Krishna, to completely free yourself of all material desires, it takes time. How long have we been rotting in the cycle of birth and death? How many eons, how many countless eons have we spent running after sense gratification? It's incalculable. Actually, we've been here since time immemorial. You can't even calculate how long you've been running after sense enjoyment, birth after birth after birth, through the 8,400,000 species. So it's understandable. It will take some time to come out of the illusion of bodily consciousness. Even now, if I say all the women in the room, please raise your hands. You know, some hands would go up, and all the men now raise your hands. But actually, we're not men or women. That's the first point of spiritual realization. I'm not this body. But yet we still think, yeah, I'm male, I'm female. Even as devotees, we think, yeah, I'm a woman, I'm a man. No, actually we're not. I'm not male, I'm not female, I'm not American, I'm not Indian, I'm not Australian. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's my actual identity. I'm a spiritual being in quality, one with God. So the point is, it takes time to fully awaken that divine consciousness. So we do have to be patient, we do have to be determined, and we have to always remain enthusiastic. So anyway, if anyone has some questions, I'll be very happy to answer them. And don't be afraid, there's no such thing as a stupid question. It's stupid when you don't ask the question, that's but then it's stupid. So I'll be happy to answer your question. Krishna actually orders in the Bhagavad Gita, approach Guru and inquire from him submissively. That's the order of Krishna. So if you want to be obedient to Lord Krishna, now Guru is here, so now you must inquire. That's the order of God. So if you're a devotee of Gita.
I just want to ask you a question. I'll work in the corporate world. The spiritual life talks about being humble to develop humility. Mm-hmm. How do we develop humility in a corporate world?
Yes. Humility means to obey the orders of Krishna. Was Arjuna perfect in humility? Arjuna, as a fully surrendered devotee at the conclusion of hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he was fully surrendered in perfect devotion to Krishna. Would he at that point then be understood to have perfect humility or not? Yes, perfect humility. So, how did he function on the battlefield in his state of perfect humility? By offering everything to Krishna. Every warrior that he shot dead, he did it for Krishna. And that was perfect humility. You see? So, Prabhupada gives an example. He said, a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Now, how many people here run their own business? Anyone? Yes. So don't you have to be a little aggressive to make it in business world? Because everybody will just run over you otherwise and take advantage of you. When you do business deals, you have to always have to try to get the best possible advantage you can. Whatever your business is. You can't just let people run over you. You have to be aggressive if you want to be successful in business. And in working in the corporate world, you know somebody else who's running that business has been very aggressive, and that's why they're successful. And they're engaging you and helping them in their aggression, basically. They're paying you they're being very aggressive with you also to get as much work as they can out of you and pay you as little as possible. You see? So the whole business world goes on the principle of being very aggressive. That's a fact. Those who are not aggressive, they don't make it in the business world. So, aggression is something you can use in Krishna's service. The actual saying is, a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. So when you're out there in the corporate world, you can be very aggressive to move up the corporate ladder and take over the corporation, you know. Can be very aggressive. And then when you come to the devotees, you're just a very humble servant of the servant of the servant. But that is also service to Krishna. To become materially successful for Krishna, that is an act of humility, even if it means you have to be tough and aggressive in the corporate atmosphere. Question more? Does that fully answer you? Yeah. Don't be artificially humble. You have to think, I'm spending all this time here in corporate Australia now, how can I get the maximum result to offer to Krishna from the time I'm spending here? You see. How can I get to the most service for Krishna? No, the more you're successful in corporate America, I'm used to that being corporate Australia. The more I can be successful in corporate Australia, then I'll have bigger results to offer to Krishna. So that's humility. How can I get more service done for Krishna by what I'm doing here in this corporate job? So I encourage all of my students, disciples who are, working or going to school. If you're a student, you should go for perfect marks. You know, try to be the valedictorian when you graduate. If devotees are the leaders in every sphere of the society, in the educational world, the corporate world, the artistic world, if Krishna conscious persons are the leaders in every sphere, do you think that'll help our movement go forward? You bet it will. We want Krishna conscious people to be the leaders in every sphere of the human society. So wherever you are, wherever you're situated, everybody in this room, wherever you're situated in the society, you become the leader. You become the leader in whatever your position is. You become a leading person. Now, this is Prabhupada's position even before He became disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. In fact, that's why Narendranath Malik wanted to bring Abhay Babu, Abhay Charanday, to meet Bhaktisiddhanta. You know that's why? Because he was always, amongst his circle of friends, he was always seen as the leader. He was always seen as the leader. So, Narendra Malak, he thought, oh, this is a nice sadhu. I think I would like that everyone should appreciate this sadhu. So let's get Abhay to certify that this is a good sadhu. And then everybody will say, oh, if Abhay likes him, then he must be good. So Prabhupada was very influential in his circle of friends. He was a leader. Even before he became, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So wherever you are, you should become leader. Everyone should look up to you. What is your opinion? You say, well, I think we should all chant Hare Krishna. Oh, really? Well, then teach us how to chant. See, wherever you are, you should be the leader. So that when the people will come to you to know, to find out how to be happy in life. And then you can tell them. They say, well, how are you so happy here? This is such a rat race, this corporate Australian atmosphere. It's so intense. But I see you're always so peaceful and happy. What is your secret? My godbrother, he was working a corporate job. He used to bring his Bhagavad Gita as it is. He just put it on the desk there, you know, and he had a few minutes during the break, he would read it. It would always be prominently sitting there. So one American boy, also working there on the corporate scene, he saw, and what is this? He became a devotee, became initiated by Prabhupada, just by seeing the devotee. But there was an Indian man working in America. He had his Bhagavad Gita every day on his desk, you see. So take advantage of your position and see what you can do to push forward Lord Chaitanya's movement in your job. You see? See what you can do to make a revolution for Krishna in where you're working by becoming an ideal acharya. Yajyadacharati shreshtas tattadeve taro janat siyat pramanam kurute lokastadanivartite. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets, by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So you should become fixed in Krishna consciousness. I recommend to all of my students who work job, get up very early, chant your round during Brahma Muhurta, before the sun comes up. And your spiritual battery be so, don't just chant, you know, a few rounds and go to work. I mean, no, chant 16 rounds before you leave the house. You know, ideally before sunrise, and if second best, before you take breakfast. Get all your rounds done. Good, focused rounds. And your spiritual battery be so charged up, you go out to that corporation, you'll see everything as the energy of Krishna. When you pull into the parking lot, you go, wow, this is the energy of Krishna here. ABC Corporation. And you'll be Krishna. You'll go and you'll see, wow, the super soul is in the heart of all these employees here. And you look at your boss, you say, oh, he's really expert at managing. He keeps me working hard at every second. And then you remember, well, Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. You say, Krishna is the ability in my manager to keep me working hard at every second. You see? You'll see Krishna everywhere in your corporate job if you chant 16 quality rounds every morning before you leave the house. You know? Don't say, well, I'll chant 2 in the morning and, you know, 2 at lunch, and then I'll chant 12 before I take rest at night. Come on. You know. You just, what a spaced out way to live. You know, be focused. Chant 16 rounds before you leave the house. And you'll just be vibrating with spiritual energy all day long. Yes.
Prabhuji, chanting 16 rounds first thing in the morning, what do you do the rest of the day? When you have a lot of time.
What is it?
What do you do when you have more time left during the day, while you work and do other things?
Yeah, but if you have free time during the day?
Yes.
Well, you can chat extra round? Or you can read Prabhupada's books?
The mind keeps chanting once, I mean, the vibrations keep on.
Oh, you can keep chanting Hare Krishna all day, or actually, I remember when I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and I married Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. Here, a guru arranged the marriage. And so after that marriage, then I went to took some training in computer programming. I remember when I was a student, and I would memorize slokas. I would chant my rounds before heading out for school, and then when I would be driving over to the school, I'd be chanting slokas driving down the freeway. And I remember just, we got to the school, and you get on the elevator to go from the ground floor to the first floor. And I would chant a sloka going up the elevator, you know. I was memorizing verses. Yada, yadahi, dharma, shula. And this way I was keeping my mind always fixed in Krishna consciousness. Slokas are very good. You get your rounds done, now get yourself an index card. Write down every verse that you want to have memorized. Write them all down. Carry that little index card around with you. And then now you're responsible. You have your slokas. You work on them. You memorize them. You get free time. You work on them. You have them in your, you can rehearse your slokas. Even in the shower, you can go through your slokas. You know, I remember Dwarkanath, a disciple of Tamakrishna Goswami. He was, at that time, he was Deepak. He wasn't initiated yet, but he was, at that time, he hadn't gotten married, but he was working a corporate job there in Houston. And he would come into the temple every night for the Sundar Arti after he got off work, and he'd drive in with a sloka card. And, you know, he's working on his slokas. And then on the weekend, he would buy all the boga. I was the cook at the time in the temple, and he was great. I just give him a list, and every Saturday he'd go out for hours to the Indian store, to this store, and he'd come back. Everything I put in the shopping list, he'd bring every single item back. So we were this kitchen was always well stocked. So, yeah, just see how much service you can do for the temple. See how many verses you can memorize. I have another student. He just graduated in mechanical engineering. Got a corporate job in the U.S. What does he do after work? He'll go to the university campus and distribute books in front of the library. Some woman who was the librarian was interested in Vedic philosophy. And, you know, and he sold her 7 books, and now she's becoming a devotee of Krishna because he approached her in a small Alabama town. She couldn't believe it. Somebody here presenting Bhagavad Gita in the middle of Alabama? So find ways in your spare time to push forward this movement. Find a college campus. Find an Indian store where you can set up a book table. You know, find some way that you can push forward Krishna consciousness in your spare time. You can either cultivate your own Krishna consciousness, invite friends over for programs in your home like this. See how you can always keep Krishna consciousness going 24 hours a day. You're always thinking about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, serving Krishna, everything. Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then you won't have to wait for the time of death to go back to Godhead. You will already be back to Godhead. Even though you may appear to be in Sydney, you will actually be in the spiritual world. I just read today, Prabhupada said, for such a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, the material world becomes non-existent. Can you imagine how nice that would be? The material world becomes non-existent. It's actually just a movie out there on the screen of the Mahatattva. And if you become actually pure, there's actually described a mystic television in the heart. Krishna's pastimes are going on 24 hours a day in stereo sound and full color, full technicolor. You see? You just become purified and actually you can enter into the spiritual world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one bhajan. He said, one day while engaged in household activities, I saw my home, transform into Goloka Vrindavan. So this is a mystical process. You can actually have direct darshan of Krishna if you become completely pure. Even on your job, it could happen. You just have to become totally pure. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had 12 or 14 children. Can you imagine? And he was a magistrate working for the British government in Puri. But he had, have you seen his daily schedule? I've seen it. It's amazing. He had his whole day orchestrated. Every minute was, he was the grandfather of time management, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had every single moment allotted, you know, this amount of moment for correspondence, this amount of time for family affairs, this everything, this sleep, this much, and such a prolific writer. He wrote so many wonderful songs, you know. We relish his songs. He wrote so many books, so many essays. And he had 12 children. And he took such good care of them. One of them was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an ideal example of someone who was a grihastha and he was a pure devotee. He was a great spiritual master. And he was a householder. So we shouldn't think, well, you know, I really can't become Krishna conscious because I have to do a business and this and no. you simply, as I was explaining today, sometimes there's a, we have this incorrect conception in ISKCON that, well, you know, are you a part-time devotee or a full-time devotee, Prabhu? You heard that one? This is called the Great Wall of ISKCON. You know, you got the full-timers and the part-timers. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is part-time devotee? What does that mean? Yeah, when I go to the temple, I'm a devotee. You know, when I go to work, I become a karmi. I say, now I'm at work. Okay, smoke a cigarette, you know. No, and if you're a devotee, you're a devotee. If you're a devotee, you're a full-time devotee. Now, you may not be doing full-time preaching work or full-time vajari work. That's another matter. But Krishna consciousness, devotion, is something which is meant to be 24 hours a day. So you have to learn how to be fully absorbed in Krishna bhakti 24 hours a day. Everyone should become the full-time devotee. And don't worry, ladies, I'm not telling your husband to take sannyas. Everyone should be a full-time devotee. Whether you're working a corporate job, whether you have your own business, whether you're managing the temple, whether you're a farmer raising, you know, milking cows. I don't care what, you're a lady raising children, you're a kid going to school, whatever you may be, everyone must become the full-time devotee. Everyone. ISKCON is a movement where everybody is a full-time devotee. You see? Because we are always remembering Krishna 24 hours a day. We are meant to be so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that at night, what do we dream about? Krishna. That is how much we should be immersed in Krishna consciousness during the day. So we're dreaming about Krishna. There's so many wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada explains, he wrote 50 years ago in India. Now, but we have to recalculate because he wrote that 30 years ago. So this means 80 years ago in India. Prabhupada explained what it was like 80 years ago in India. He said every evening, all the villagers, they would go to some place and they would hear Ramayan Mahabharata. Then they would go home after that function, they would be talking Ramayan Mahabharata. And he said, and when they go to sleep, they would dream Ramayan Mahabharata. This is actual Indian culture, you see. This is real Indian culture. So, we are now reviving them. We should be so immersed in Krishna consciousness that we simply live in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Any other question? Yeah.
Someone has a lot of time. There is a lot of service in the temple. They can go to the temple and do services.
Yes, if you have time, you don't know what to do, then you ask the devotee, you talk to the temple managers, say, I have this spare time, please engage me. They will find plenty of service. Yeah. That's a thing. There's unlimited service. Actually, I have a little daily meditation I send to 5,500 subscribers all over the world. It's called Thought for the Day. Anybody who wants to sign up can do that at www.back2tohome.com. But anyway, recently we sent out a little meditation that if the whole world decided to take up Krishna consciousness, there's enough devotional service to go around that we can engage everyone in 24 hours a day of devotional service. It's not there's a shortage of devotional service opportunities. If the whole world decided today that every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet says, I want to be a full-time devotee of Krishna. We say, well, sorry, we don't have enough service to engage all of you. No. We have enough service to engage every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet, even the animals we can engage. 24 hours a day in full-time devotional service. You see. So just go, if you have nothing to do and you have free time, you know, talk to Vijay Gopikesh Prabhu or the temple authorities and find out what you can do. Any other question? Yeah.
Maharaj, how do you deal with forgetfulness? You make plans and
How do you deal with
forgetfulness?
Forgetfulness, yes. The first thing you have to do is remember that. Not remember. Yeah. Remember that forgetfulness is an energy of Krishna. For those who want forgetfulness. Sarvasya chaham hridi sandavishto matak smatir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated in the heart of all living beings, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is given to those who want it. So you have to let Krishna know, my dear Lord, I don't want to forget you anymore. Please bless me, I can always remember you. Let Krishna know. Remind him again and again and again that you want to always remember him. And you know what? He'll be so happy that you're asking for that, and he'll answer your prayers. So every time you forget Krishna and you realize that you just forgot him, then you should beg him, please, my Lord, bless me that I will never, ever forget you ever again. And by praying and training your mind in that way, gradually the amount of forgetfulness will reduce. It just gradually go down to the point of nil. And you finally reach a point where you're purely absorbed in samadhi 24 hours a day. In all times, places, and situations. You have to be aggressive to conquer the forgetfulness in your heart. And Krishna is there to help you. Guru is there to help you. Pray to your Guru also. Guru and Krishna are there to help you to get rid of this forgetfulness tendency. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, basically, even we know that we should remember Krishna, but sometimes we become very weak, sometimes we want to really see television and want to forget Krishna.
What? Sometimes television and
want to see a movie. Yes.
Watch
so
a movie?
Distraction,
yes. Well, there's one very easy way. You take it down to the, you know, Goodwill Industries or whatever they have here. You give it away. Get rid of the damn thing. Yeah, that's an easy way. Or if you're sense controlled, then you can keep it and just watch Krishna conscious DVDs. But if you're not Krishna conscious enough to do that, you know, lock it in storage until you make more spiritual advancement. Then you can bring it back. I mean, it's really a serious thing. Mundane programming is very heavy. I know from my own experience. I was the first generation to grow up with television. I was born in 1947, and I remember I remember as a little tiny toddler in the crib, looking out at one of the first little black and white boxes that ever was introduced to the modern world. I was the first generation of children to be brainwashed by television. And even so, as a child, I became addicted. And even now, it's like a recovered alcoholic, you know. I have to watch it because if the little dancing images on the screen, if my eyes still look, it just grabs them. You have to just, you know, and it sounds like you have a TV addiction problem too. TV Holics Anonymous. You have to just train yourself. Just don't turn it on. Just don't turn it on. And even if you say, well, I'll watch the news. The news is okay. But you know what? Something comes on after. Once you get addicted to that too, then there's something that comes on after. You say, well, let me just watch one program. And the best thing is, you know, get your news from some other source. A little news is okay, but the TV is the worst place to get distracted. Even materialistic people who want to have good intelligence and want to develop their brains don't watch television. Even non-devotee materialists, there are people who are anti-TV activists who have no Krishna consciousness at all, who are campaigning to stamp out television. because it's very you become intellectually stunted. If you want to grow intellectually, read books. That's what they say. And that's true. You're not going to develop intellectually by watching television. You're just going to turn your brain off by watching television. You're just going to reduce your brain power the more you watch television. If you want to become intelligent, learned, and wise man, read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Get a whole set of Prabhupada books. Do you have the whole set? The whole set of Prabhupada books? Get the whole set. Get the Bhagavatam. Get the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Give yourself so much reading that you wouldn't even dream of turning on that stupid box. You see? It's simply a matter of getting a higher taste. But believe me, once you're hooked on it, it's easy to get sucked into it. It's too easy to get sucked into it. You just got to be very strict. No, thank you. When the mind says, watch television, you say, nope. Can't have it. Can't have it. Make it difficult to get. No, it's really, I mean, if you have it for, you watch any Krishna conscious DVDs on there? Then it's okay. You can keep it. But you got to really be careful, you know. You got to really be careful. Really be careful. Do you have a little satellite thing or antenna to get,
antenna.
Yeah, get rid of the antenna. You don't need the antenna for the DVDs. In fact, I have a solution. Tonight I'm going to take the antenna with me and I'm going to leave you your antenna. I'll relieve you of your antenna tonight. I'm only joking, but actually the easiest thing is really to get rid of the antenna. And then how you can watch. You see? That's really, I mean, you really should get rid of the antenna. I'm telling you, get rid of the antenna. And then how you can watch. You only can watch your DVDs. And look at your DVDs. Make sure they're all transcendental too. Go through your DVD library and get rid of all the mundane DVDs.
Not that they are Bollywood movies.
Huh?
Not that they are Bollywood religious movies.
Oh yeah, the Bollywood, so-called Bollywood religious movies. We know how, we've seen how people from India are so addicted to Bollywood. There's we have our home base in Austin, and we have a very good relationship there with the Indian store, the big popular Indian store. So we will set up a book table there for, you know, we have Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna book, Prasadam, and we see the Indian people coming in droves. But most of them are just going to get the videos. A few of them get the groceries, and mostly they're mad after the videos. And you say Bhagavad Gita, and they just, you know, it's like, yeah. They just want what is the latest Bollywood videos, you see. Actually, I see these, whenever I hear this music coming, sometimes we hear on the soundtrack in the Indian store, we go there to pick up some, it's so disgusting. This Bollywood stuff is such garbage. I don't know, anybody could be attracted to it. It's like, oh, it's garbage. Really low-class stuff. You have to give up that kind of stuff, you know. Really. The Bhagavatam says that compares such forms of entertainment to a place of pilgrimage fit for crows. The garbage heap. Simply a garbage heap. Yeah. Any other question? So, does everyone agree that this is proper what I'm saying, or someone feels I'm some kind of religious fanatic? Is this proper what I'm saying, or is I'm giving some, you know, fanaticism? you can speak honestly. If someone thinks I'm saying the wrong thing, that I'm misguiding the people here tonight, you can speak up. Does anyone feel I'm misguiding the audience here by what I'm saying? I'm giving misinformation, misguiding?
No.
All right. Yeah, actually, I'm not. I'm not. I'm simply repeating the words coming from Krishna, the knowledge coming from Krishna. That's all. Krishna says we should always be absorbed in Him. Man manam avamad bhakto majaji mang namaskuru mam vashashi yugdvayavang atmanang maparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. For one rascal commentator, he changed it. Certainly you will become me. We should not mess around with the words of Krishna. You see. We have to take the words of Krishna as they are. We have to take Bhagavad Gita as it is. Very important. That's why Prabhupada's edition is so important. These other editions, they like to play around with the meaning. Toy around with the meaning. Well, we'll change it a little bit this way. Very important to hear Bhagavad Gita from the bona fide spiritual master. Very important thing. Because then we'll become properly situated on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. So, any other question? So, everyone is satisfied? Is anyone dissatisfied?
No.
With what I have spoken tonight? That no, I find it very disturbing what you said. Was anyone disturbed by what I said tonight? Yes? No? Okay. You were disturbed.
I'm raising my hand for another question.
Oh, okay.
You suggested the host, that he should get a host set up by Prabhupada's books. Is he willing to order now? Auspicious time.
So Maharaji is now putting you on the spot. Are you willing to place your order now for the set of books?
Yes.
Very good. Now there's the order man back there. Very good. Very good. Very good. I oftentimes explain that I am the visionary with the theoretical, but Maharaji is the practical side. She's the practical side. That's why I like to take her with me on the road. She reminds me of the practical side. You can talk big, but if there's no practical result, then I see that this Maharaji is very good in this way. She really comes down to the practical. She always brings it down to the practical reality. All right, let's make it practical now. It's very good. Thank you very much. So, yes.
Mata decide that I should read all the books, but is there any secrets like I should read? Like at the moment, like I read Bhagavad Gita quite a few years back. I'm again reading it. Should I understand that before I read Bhagavad Gita?
Actually, once you have read the Bhagavad Gita one time, then you can now begin Bhagavatam. Yes. One devotee, his program was this, just looping the loop around and around. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then come back again and keep going again and again through all of them. Bhagavad Gita is bachelor's level, Bhagavatam, master's degree level, Chaitanya Charitamrita, PhD level. Yeah. So you've already gone through the bachelor's level. So now you can read master's level, Bhagavatam. Yeah. Yes.
When is one ready for initiation?
When you are fixed in chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles, after 6 months you can start to get ready. And after 1 year, you can be considered as a candidate for initiation. If you have been chanting 16, how long have you been chanting 16 rounds?
I've been chanting 32 rounds since January.
32 rounds since January, and this is January of 2006.
Yeah, so this is a 1 year.
12 months.
And you've been following the four principles also.
Yes.
All right, so what day in January did you start?
possibly around 14th or 15th.
All right, so around the 15th of January 2007, technically you're qualified to get initiated, to receive an a recommendation letter from the local temple authorities, actually the temple council. They have a temple council. 1 minute. I'll recognize you. I'll answer you in a minute. There must be some practical thing that's important.
It's important for recommendation of written initiation. Besides 16 rounds, and four regulated principles, the management requires them to regularly visit the temple. And
yeah, I'm coming to them. Okay. Yeah, you... the local temple are the ones who recommend to the spiritual master that this person is now ready. So you have to find out what they want you to do, because they're the recommending authority. So that the general principle is 16 rounds in the four principles, and the next principle is whatever the local recommending authority feels you need to do to become qualified. Just like in my case, I had to depend on the initiation recommendation of Vishnu Jana Maharaj, who was our temple president at the time. So the basic thing is 16 round the four principles. But then you have to convince the local temple that you have the right service attitude, so many things. So the details of that, for the further information, you can talk to Vijay Gopikesh, who you're part of that committee? Yeah. He's part of the recommending committee. So you can see the details by talking to him. Then once they feel that you're ready, then we have many spiritual masters in ISKCON who represent Prabhupada very wonderfully. So you can choose one of those, like myself, I'm one of them. And there are others we have many who visit Sydney. So you have a good chance to see many of the initiating gurus here. Which one you feel should be your guru, you see. You can choose which one do I want to have as my guru, you see. That I'll give, I'm inspired by him and I want to serve him and follow his instructions. He's very special for me. I want him to be my guru, you see. You can choose which guru you would like. Let that be known to the local authorities. When they're ready, when you're ready, then they'll send a recommendation letter to that guru, and then he will come here and he'll be a yajna. He'll accept you in a ceremony as his disciple. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Any further question? So everyone's satisfied?
Yes.
All right, so what's the next program?
We'll have Shrub Bhajan and then Prasadam.
Prasadam?
Yes.
All right.
Short Bhajan and then
Prasadam. Short Bhajan, okay, and then Prasadam. See, I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so better we just go directly to Prasadam. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to thank you all for coming for this program. Especially I'd like to thank His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu and His good wife Vishnu Premadiji. His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu ki.
Jai.